Lord. Now I've got this problem. Seems it increases every day. Seems the more that I try to follow you, the more the price that I pay. Now I've got friends who will sit and judge me just for being your kind of man. Out of spite, some bite and backstab me just for doing the best I can. Take Brother Bill. Now he is such a gossip. From what I hear, it's widely known. And Brother Bob, why, he's so fault-finding, I had to call him on it, right over the phone. And Pastor Leibowitz, he's a hypocrite. Lord, won't you make him see his sins? And won't you save me from the likes of those who call themselves Christians? Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? I can feel them creeping up and closing in on me. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? And take the log out of our eyes so we might see. Now you've saved me from temptation and all the wiles of worldly wealth, from the trials and the tribulations I usually brought upon myself. And you've rescued me from conspiracies that were planned to harm and hurt. Now won't you save me from the elders who conspire down at my church? Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? Now I can feel them creeping up and closing in on me. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? And take the beam out of our eyes so we might see. Now the adversary, he is subtle, and he wears a slick disguise. And he's always causing trouble, finding specks in people's eyes. It's when he wears the robes of heaven is when he acts the most like hell. But the one that he resembles most is the one we call ourselves. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? Now I can feel them creeping up and closing in on me. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? And take the plank out of our eyes so we might see. Take the beam out of our eyes so we might see. And take the log out of our eyes so we might see. Dear Lord, I've got this problem.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning on July 5th, 2025. And we say welcome to you folks out there. We thank you for being here, and I want to thank the men for being on. I've got Will on the line. Good morning, Will. And I've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And Remnant, thank you for being here. Well, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
You bet. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Independence Day weekend. We thank you for the freedom to gather here this morning and in your name. And as we prepare to talk about the world and the chaos and the craziness that's going on in it, we thank you for being the steadfast God of order. We know you have a perfect finished plan for us, Lord, your people. We pray that you bless our listeners and our people. We pray for healing for those that are sick and down. And we thank you, Lord, for those who have been healed. We just ask that you bless this ministry and our work that you've given us to do. We pray for the safety of our people here in this country and our people all around the world. We ask for your hands to protect and shield us. And we ask for our enemies to be brought to bear and, Lord, that they will face your almighty judgment for their actions. And we just ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And I just want to start off by saying just wishing everybody, it's a day late, but happy 4th of July to everyone out there. Hope you men had a happy 4th. And I want to say happy birthday, America. A nation born in a day. And I believe that this is one of the holidays that we actually have that is, prophesied about in the Bible. And that prophecy is found in 2 Samuel 7:10. And it is, one of my favorite holidays out of the year. And I think it always will be. But just want to start off by saying happy birthday, America. I hope everybody had a successful and happy 4th of July out there. We certainly did here. And it was a good day. And I'm glad that it was celebrated. Here, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but it was celebrated in protest. But there is a lot of things I want to start talking about worldly events. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world. And so I seen these headlines and I got a couple calls on it. I don't know a lot about it. I know that you men do. It's something that came across our list. But last Christian town in West Bank attacked and besieged by Israel settlers. What's the deal with that?
Get the right
go for it, Tim.
Basically, there's a town called Teba. I think that's how you say it. And, again, these names, sometimes we butcher them. But it's a 4,500-year-old community. It has huge significance in Christ's story. So, according to them, that was where Jesus went before his passion, before the crucifixion. It's kind of been taken over by the Catholics, but there's still other Christians in there too. But it's basically a non-Judaistic town. And they're just moving in there in this interim here with all this Iran, Iraq, Hezbollah, all this other stuff that's going on, and they're just wholesale killing people. They're dragging them out in the street and just killing them. And
who's killing them, Tim?
The Jews. The Israelites.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's one of those things where we're seeing they're also stealing their farm equipment. They're burning their crops. They're kicking their cattle loose and all these kinds of things, you look at all this. These people they're currently trying to flee, but when we see this kind of stuff going on, it's like, why? These Israelis or these Jews, they sit around and talk about their defense or how they're protecting their own lands, but they're way outside the area of their borders or whatever. And this is a situation normal, that we see. I thought of one thing that would describe these people is they're never happy unless they're doing stuff like this. It's just like it's constantly any excuse will do. They've got to be picked on. As I understand it, this town's near Ramallah, but they're burning homes, they're shooting at residents and shooting residents. They're burning stores there. This town's not huge. I don't remember. I think it's, what was it, like about 3,000 people, give or take, you know. So, but it's isn't that kind of criminal? I mean, isn't that kind of wrong? Isn't that, it seems to me that there's a, it's just, and these are Jewish settlers. So that sounds like a, so settlers.
A few things that come to mind there. Just some tidbits. In the Old Testament, Taba in the book of Joshua was referred to as Ophrah, and in the New Testament it was Ephraim. So it had different names in Scripture, but it's the same geographical or physical place. And as you were talking to him, and you were talking about what they were doing, and you're right, it's the Jewish settlers that are moving into this area of Palestine and just wholesale. I mean, it's not Hamas. It's not, the Palestinians, these Muslims or whatever. It's anybody. It's anybody that's not them. And what I immediately thought was just the bloodlust and that Esau, Edom will live by the sword. And that's what they're doing. I mean, it's just one more piece of demonstrated evidence that this is what they do. They finance killing, they finance wars, I could just run off, but this is a perfect example. In my understanding, and Tim, you may know more about this, or Jason, you may know more about this, is a completely neutral, peaceful town of Christians. They haven't participated in any of the nonsense that's been going on there. They've been more or less self-sustained. And they've, I guess, tried to just stay out of all of this. And now, without provocation, the Jews have just moved into this town. And
this is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing to me that I guess the population's only 1,300. So I hit that a little high. I was just looking that up real quick. But basically, yeah, they're going in there and I don't know if some group in most places does something like that, there's a lot of outcry. There's a lot of, it's like, hey, they were minding their own business. Why are you in there trying to take a spoil, trying to run these people off their ground? And
because that's what they do.
You know, yeah. So, and this is a prime example of what they do everywhere they go. We see this go on all the time. If they can't control it, they'll just destroy it. It goes on. You know, so
other places with other groups of people, if it was in Rwanda in the 1990s, and it was the Muslims doing this, they would call it genocide. You know, with it being where it's at now. With the Jews doing it, it doesn't even make the news cycle. But call it what it is. It's just it's a genocide toward a minority group of Christians. And that's the thing is to reiterate, these aren't armed combatants. It's not Hamas. It's not the PLO. It's not all of these actors that are taking up arms and firing rockets and throwing rocks at the Jews. This is just a peaceful group of Christians that more or less were just minding their own business. And for the lack of a better term, they've been invaded. Their village has been invaded by the Jews. And it's pretty bloody. It's a pretty bloody invasion.
Yeah, and they're not Johnny Come Lately. The original church of St. George was built there in the 5th century. So... and then rebuilt by the Crusaders in the 12th century. These things, I mean, they've been there a while. It's not like these are squatters that have come in here and taken up residency. And it's a productive little town. It's a self-contained little town. They pretty much make everything they need there. They grow their crops. It's one of those They cannot stand to have, and if you look into it, they can't stand to have anything with the name Christian on it. I mean, according to their own, dogma, why, you know, Christians are only worthy of death. And that includes Christians over here. I mean, as far as they're concerned, we're just useful idiots. This is just another in-your-face example of what's going on. But it's not very, you won't find it on the mainstream news, but it is going on. So,
along those lines, just to, you know, obviously that's happening in this little Christian village, but, you know, during the same time frame, this was from July the 3rd, so a couple of days ago, the headline was, Israel, it was actually the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, they murdered over 300 Palestinians in 48 hours on the Gaza, across the Gaza Strip. And within 24 hours, just in a 24-hour period, they killed 73 Palestinians in airstrikes, just indiscriminate airstrikes. And I can't find a reason for this. This was what I was seeing here. This was a relief camp, more or less is what it was. And they just went in and, they had what was called forced displacement orders. In other words, the Israeli government had decided these people had to move. And instead of giving them time to move or whatever, they went in and indiscriminately started killing them. So there is a lot of that going on right now there.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's what, yeah, I've heard the same thing. And it's like, and then there's supposedly a ceasefire that's taken place that Trump negotiated in some way, but they just keep going in there and killing them and killing them and killing them. And that's what they do. I mean, it's, you know, and I think you hear these stories and they do try to cover it up, but they like to hit the stories of the, you know, the refugee, or not the refugee camps, but the camps that, you know, they've got the sick, they've got the wounded in, they've got people that have already been attacked by it. That's what they do, is they go after those, you know, they target those areas, they target the hospitals, and a lot of it is they're shooting women and children too.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things in the same news story, The Guardian out of London, the Guardian newspaper, was reporting that on Thursday, Israeli military, they dropped, it was an Israeli fighter jet, dropped a 500-pound bomb on a cafe in Gaza City. This was not a combatant zone or anything like it. It was just a cafe, and 33 Palestinians died in that. Like I said, indiscriminate. You want to say it's indiscriminate, but it, I mean, to me, that sure seems targeted. You know, this is a non-militant area that they're just picking city centers, you know, at a restaurant. And that's what's going on there.
Wow. Well, yeah. And what, in order to continue to bring this up, APAC's little pet congressman, Josh Gottheimer, they want to transfer the B-2 stealth bombers and bunker busters to Israel. I don't know. That sounds like a really bad idea. I mean, no restraint.
Yeah, and then at the same time, we see that I've seen that APAC-funded reps put a bill together to transfer two American B-2 bombers and bunker busters to get them ready and refurbished and send them back to Israel.
It's just wild.
There are some things that happen that you. What were you saying, Tim?
I said that's like giving kids guns to play with who've never seen one in their life. You know, I mean. You're just begging for problems.
That's perfect. I was just thinking, you know, that's a situation where nothing good can come of this. You know, that is the case of if you give it to them, they're going to use it. You know, that's not something they're going to use as a deterrent. That's something they're going to use as an offensive weapon. You know, that you're just good gracious. I mean, that's just throwing fuel on a fire.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope that that doesn't happen. I guess it's just a proposed deal, but it looks like, I mean, just the insanity of it. It's like, okay, we're going to give this to them. Or we're just going to give it to them for their protection. I mean, that's like handing a kid a loaded squirt gun, a four-year-old loaded squirt gun, and saying, okay, here, pointing it at your siblings and don't pull the trigger. I mean, hello.
Right.
It ain't going to happen. It's something that, I don't know. It just... You know, it's crazy. I hope that this does not happen. I guess it hasn't happened yet, but it's something that two of these Jewish congressmen have proposed. So, they'd like it. I mean, that's what they want us to do. Is they want us to, you know, here we've got these weapons, and we want you to go over there and give them to Israel. So, bad idea.
Here's a question. I just came to. Go ahead, Tim.
No. Well, you got it. Go. I'll do it.
No, I was just going to ask. You know, I know we're all screwed up. Here we are on Independence Day weekend, and I know a lot of us have been thinking about this country and our Constitution and original intent. I know I have over the last couple of days, and I'm thinking about the three branches of government and the military falling under the executive. Why is Congress even entertaining the idea of weapons? When did Congress get into the business of moving weapons to foreign countries? I mean, that can't be constitutional.
No,
not
right.
that matters. But I mean, it occurred to me that if anybody should be doing this, it's the executive branch. You know, where is the House of Representatives even involved in this equation?
Yeah, they shouldn't
no
be, and that's the thing. It's like, why
they
since we're and we should not even be in the business of supplying weapons, or, you know, okay, you want to talk about weapons of mass destruction? This is a weapon. I think B-12, B-2 bomber with bunker busters is a weapon of mass destruction. In my book, it is, at least. That's what, you know. We're gonna supply other countries with weapons like that. I mean, talk about insanity.
Yeah, and I can't help but think that there's probably some, I guess I'll use the word blackmail going on behind the scenes. I mean, Israel is not supposed to have nuclear weapons because they don't belong to anything. Of course, no one ever talks about that. You know, I mean, that's not a. I mean, technically. That's the way that's supposed to work on the world stage. No one else is. They weren't approved by whatever the functionary body is in regards to that. But I kind of suspicion that there's a lot of, well, you might want to give us, you know, this instead of us using that type thing. I mean, I think there's some of that going on that we don't know about. I mean, I haven't heard anything that way, but it wouldn't surprise me to find that out, would it, you? I mean, really?
Well,
leverage.
Yes. I mean, I agree with you 100% there, Tim. But I think also just for, you know, our listeners and the American people in general, this is a 100% in your face. These two congressmen are just bought and paid for by Israel.
Right.
I mean, they're going into the people's house in D.C. and lobbying to arm a foreign country with state-of-the-art aircraft and ordnance. This isn't building up our own military. This is appropriating money and resources to a foreign belligerent. And when I say a belligerent, I mean a belligerent toward us, too. Let's not forget the USS Liberty. That was only, you know, a few weeks ago that we were remembering that. You know, Israel has done a really good job. The state of Israel has done a really good job of pissing off a lot of people, and they don't really care where or where you are or what you are. You know, they're equal opportunity when it comes to who they will use their military against.
Good point.
Yeah, there's and go ahead, Tim.
We don't have to provide those people with, for that matter, any people with that. I mean, and I think that, you know, I just seen something go by here the other day during the course of looking at some stuff, and our military is the next one down on the list is China, and ours is, you know, twice the size of theirs, and it's multiples of any other country in the world. I mean, most of the rest of them all combined don't equal us. So why is it that, you know, if, under an American First policy and protecting ourselves, we're in very good condition. But and obviously there's always chinks in armor no matter what. But with God's help, those don't exist. So maybe we ought to be I hear this garbage on there a lot about, well, those who protect and defend Israel, you know, God defends. And it's like the real question isn't, or the real statement shouldn't be that, but it should be, who is Israel? I mean, really,
right.
The Bible, Israel. I mean, start doing some digging into that. You know, you find out that they don't make the grade. So,
along those lines, Tim, I know you and I were just visiting with it a little bit this morning, and Jason and I visited off air. Isn't it amazing in the different social medias and the different talking heads? You know, guys with big names like Tucker Carlson, they're starting to talk about, you know, they're not there yet, right? They're not there yet, but they're close, where they're starting to, for the lack of a better term, criticize the Jews. And, yeah. And we're leaning in more and more towards, you know, are these Jews that call themselves Jews, right? I mean, that's kind of, the narrative, yeah, that is starting to take a foothold, and that's got to be positive, I think, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I seen a positive thing, and it said that I seen a news article. One of you men sent it to me, but it talked about all these immigrants that are moving to Israel. And I was reading this article, and I'm like, man, they're leaving Wyoming and going back to Israel. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sure we can round up a couple more, but talking about 2,000 of them that are headed to migrate back to Israel, and it's like, okay, can we add a couple of zeros onto that and get some more of them out of here? But I mean,
so I will commend Israel on one thing. The state of Israel, they have a wonderful immigration policy, and that immigration policy is, if you're a Jew, you're automatically a citizen of the state of Israel.
Yep.
And I for one am all for Jews repatriating themselves to Israel.
Absolutely.
And, no matter where they are, especially if they're in Western Europe or Eastern Europe or the United States or Canada, if we're going to throw B-2 bombers and bunker busters and that kind of money, how about setting up a fund for some plane tickets?
That's what I was going to say. I said it would be a lot cheaper if we could just use some cargo planes and load them up and send them over there.
Yeah. I mean, we can just think about all of the sky miles we could get from Delta that we could just turn around and use for more tickets. I say we do it.
Well, and I think we need to tell people too, is just, you know, we're not just bashing on the Jews for no reason. It's we got good reason for it, and you need to take time and look at how many different countries that they've actually been kicked out of. It's pretty remarkable if you look at the history of them, and you know, it's because they just, you know, eventually they get found out for who they are and what they are and what they do. And, you know, they're stealers, killers, and destroyers. That's what they do. They do that everywhere that they go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time. They were, where to go with that? I don't know why they would want to go back to Israel right now, other than you were talking about the ones here in the United States that were going back, are going to Israel. Here is my question, and I just posed this to you guys. Why now? Israel's kind of a mess right now. You know, why would they choose to go now with everything that's going on regionally there? You know, I saw some photos. You know, these aren't young, like, military-age guys. These were middle-aged and older people that were heading to Israel. And, you know, like you said, Jason, they were coming to New York and New Jersey and Maryland and Wyoming and Ohio and all of these places. And is it because they see something that's that's happening here that they don't like.
I think that's – I went through the same thing, and it's like, why? Why would you want to go to a place that's actually in an active war between Israel and Iran? They're bombing the living daylights out of each other, you know, sending missiles back and forth, all this kind of stuff, terrorist attacks. I mean, you name it. It's going on over there. And – you want to go and relocate to a country that's taken place? So that doesn't make any sense. The only thing that did make sense to me is that they don't like what's happening in America. And I think that's got to be it. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. That's just my guess is that they're starting to see that, you know, hey, America is not as pro-Jew as it used to be.
I'll go a little deeper and say there is no doubt we are an infiltrated country, especially when it comes to intelligence operatives and definitely Mossad. And I think we would agree that the Jews – run the majority of the media industry, newspapers, you know, online internet news sites and that sort of thing. And they can see, you know, they read these comments, you know, they're using artificial intelligence to police comments and that sort of thing from all of these social media sites and talking heads. Is it possible? Is it just possible that the Jewish government in Israel, using their intelligence apparatus, has figured out the tide is turning, and maybe we need to start gathering people up to come here? Just a thought. I mean, are they reading the tea leaves?
Good point.
They know what's coming, and maybe under the radar, they're informing their people it's time to leave. I don't know. I don't know either. That out there.
Yes. I know. I guess only time will tell. It's interesting. I don't know what even to think about it.
It defies explanation of why you would want to go there now, other than in the future, in maybe this country or other countries, it's not going to be very hospitable for them to be there.
Well, it's not like it's in the same situation where you've got like South Africans that are being murdered and killed on a regular basis. They are fleeing to the United States. I mean, that to me just makes sense. And it's like, yeah, that's a good choice. It doesn't. I don't know.
So,
I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know we're going to talk about this here shortly, but it might be a good time to transition into it now. One of the things that I thought about this is, you know, you have Trump that's talking about this New York mayoral candidate, the guy's name who I can't pronounce, you know, that he's talking about him being a naturalized citizen and using some legislation that's already there when it comes to immigration law of deporting him as a naturalized, stripping his citizenship away and deporting him for being a communist and supporting terrorist organizations. Well, I'm just throwing this out there. Is it possible in the future we're heading to do the same thing with these dual citizenship Jews that are here that are supporting foreign countries? I mean, in this country, we have deported Israeli citizens for spying for Israel before.
Right.
That's happened more than once. And maybe you guys can help me remember. I know we executed, I say we, the United States government executed a husband and wife who were spying for the Jewish state as well, and they were American citizens. So in my gut, I don't know what it is, but it sure seems like things are changing when it comes to our immigration laws, who we are going to allow to be in this country. It seems like it's snowballing. And I just don't know where we're going to end up. I don't know where we're going to end up. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that or not, with all this stuff that's going on with naturalized citizens and stripping citizenship of from people and that sort of thing. But I just wonder if that's tied to this first batch of Jews that we see leaving the country.
Very possible. I mean, yeah. I've looked at that too, and it's like, okay, and it's kind of crazy. But it's like, I did, and not to quote,
I hate to quote it, but like Arnold Schwarzenegger said a couple weeks ago when we talked about it, you know, he's like, if you're going to come here into the United States, you need to act like guests. You know,
right.
you need to respect America. And that's one of the things that they haven't done. And now they thought that they could come here and they could become naturalized citizens and they could do whatever they want. Well, they're finding out that, hey, that don't work here anymore. And if you're not going to act like a guest, then you can get out. So I think that there's a lot of handwriting on the wall, so to speak, that they're seeing. And I think too, it's like, I mean, is it, I'm just God removing them from amongst us also.
Yep. Well, and there's traditionally, historically, there's a flashpoint when awareness comes up to a certain point. You know, you have this explosion of, recognition or of cognizant realization that, oh, wow, you know, and I was just thinking about one of the things we'd kind of mentioned, you know, in one of his, I think that was in Iowa, he was promoting the big, beautiful bill, Trump was, and he used the word Shylock, and oh, my goodness, there was, and he said, well, I didn't know that was an anti-Semitic term, you know. And
yeah, what was the context on that? I heard that they were talking about that he said called, it was in a speech in Iowa or something, or maybe it was Ohio. I can't remember exactly where it was, but then they came out and it was, well, anti-Semitic, and you can't use that term because that's anti-Jewish.
He was referring to bankers and usury.
Okay.
High interest bankers.
And the thing about it is, to me, my way of thinking, first off, maybe he didn't know about it, but, you know, a lot of those speeches are written. I believe in that if you're my own opinion is it was in there for a purpose, you know.
I'm gonna jump on here, Tim, and say this is a 78-year-old New Yorker who has spent his whole life in South Florida and in New York City. If you don't think he has heard the term Shylock in reference to a Jew before, those are places are crawling with that. And I have a hard time believing that President Trump didn't know exactly what he was saying, and he said it for a purpose.
That's my thought process as well. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. And not condemnation for using that term, but I agree. I think so, too. So. And at the very least, if he didn't, why, the professional speechwriter certainly did know what it meant, but it was in there for a reason. So, you know, it's just another one of those, just like what we were just talking about maybe some possible undercurrents on the B2 thing. There's a lot of, what do you want to call it, innuendo involved in many of those things. It's like, hey, you guys, you're not going to keep doing this, you know, and I think that might have been a poke in the eye at that whole deal. And we've had a continuing dust up between the Federal Reserve and the president, you know, wanting to lower the interest rates, and they're hardlining it. They're not going to do that. And I think that if nothing else, you should consider the fact that just seeing that go on with the Federal Reserve system tells you just how unattached, federally speaking, quote unquote, they are to this. To the system, they're like, well, we're independent, you know, we can do what, that's their way of saying we can do whatever we want, you're gonna like, you know. And so I think this was a poke in the eye looking back at that, or, you know, pointing back toward this issue with the Federal Reserve. And I think that there's, it's going on. He knew what he was saying, he knew what he was doing, and I don't think he does things like that without causation or without, cognitive thought behind it. So it's going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. Well, and I seen that earlier this week Trump signed a executive order making it more expensive for foreigners to go into the national parks. And, you know, that was one of the things that I wondered why they didn't do that for a long time. it was kind of interesting, and I remember this from I'm trying to think what year it was, back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was in Dominican Republic with my dad. We were going to the places, and there were signs all over the place, and it was, you know, gringos pay double. You go into a restaurant, you go into a park or something like that, it's like, you know, they had their fees posted, but it was gringos pay double, or, you know, 2x. And if you wanted, you know, it didn't matter what it was. It was, and there was a lot of places like that. I'm like, man, that's crazy. I mean, you'd think that you'd have a price for, you know, everybody, but it was just, it was well known. And that if you were an English speaking white person, you were going to pay twice as much. I'm like, man, why don't we, you know, I remember asking my dad, why don't we do that over, you know, back home? And he's like, oh, it'll never happen. Well, actually, I was kind of laughing when I seen this headline, because it's like, yeah, it is happening. So, I don't know. That was definitely interesting. And that's the way that a lot of the world conducts business. So it's, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, it's biblical. If you go back to, what is it, Matthew 17, 25 and 26, those were like red letter words, you know. Christ said, of whom the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers. And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. You know, so I think that's it's not in any way ungodly.
along those lines, Tim, what I was hoping is the next step of this is there will be no fees for citizens to go to national parks, that the money will be made from foreign visitors.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
That'd be okay.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, I think. You know, that's the... that. From Matthew 17, like you were talking, Tim, that's biblical. That's the way it should be. This is our land, right? Going back to Independence Day, this is our land. Why should we pay for it? Why should we pay for the privilege of going onto our own land, make others pay for it, and make it free for citizens? Hopefully that's the way we're heading. We'll see. It's a good first step.
Good first step, yes.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to jump on, because Independence Day, to me, we're talking about the land of the Israelites over there and all of the chaos and craziness that's happening there. I personally, and maybe I'm just over, maybe I'm just oversimplifying things and taking a very easy look at this, but while we're here at the 4th of July in this time, there are so many great America first things that are happening. And, yep. And just like you were talking about with the national parks, Jason, I consider that to be an America first, and more importantly, an American first. Make others pay more. Why do we have to pay more? You know, we've done that too long. And so it's positive for me to see that stuff happen. And if you kind of zone out the noise of all the chaos that's going on and start paying attention. And I'm talking to myself as much as I am anybody else listening to us. There are a lot of positive American first things that are going on. And I'll just talk about for a second, you know, here we are 249 years old. We're rolling into our 250th year as a nation, which I just think is awesome. I'm looking forward to it personally, of being able to celebrate that. And there are a lot of good things that are coming down, and I hope our people look at that positively too, of just being good patriots and being proud to be an American. I know I am.
Amen. I agree 100%. That's very well said. I know it was celebrating the 249th, which, you know, we celebrate 4th of July every year, but it was kind of funny because youngest boy, Dustin, he comes up and he's like, Dad's is 249? I said, yeah. And he said, next year's 250. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, we really need to have a party then. Yeah, I would agree with that. It's exciting. To me, it's exciting. And I don't know. Go ahead. I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'll talk about it in a little bit. But it's, you know, it is exciting. I mean, people are being patriotic, and they're getting back to loving their country, loving their land, loving this. They're realizing that there's a lot of people that are waking up to realizing that, hey, you know, this is the land, and we are the people. And to me, that's encouraging, because that's what you know, that's what we're out there. We're preaching it from the rooftops, and we're trying to get people to understand that, you know, this isn't there was a covenant that was made, and there was a covenant people, but it wasn't in this sandbox over there that you call Israel. It was, you know, here, and he made it with the white Caucasian Scandinavian kindred and Celtic people, and that's us. And this is the land, this is the promised land, not that over there, and where the Israelis are. That's what they do, is they lie about everything. So I'm very encouraged about people waking up to who they are, and you know, just encouraged about people that are waking up and being able to share the truth. I know this is a side note, but me and Tim got an older gentleman that we I'm privileged to be friends with. Great guy, good man. But it was one of those things that I argued with him and talked to him about the Jewish issue for years and years and years. And he just, I mean, and he made it very clear. He's like, you know, his opinion was, you're wrong. This is, you know, they are the covenant people. And I remember the day that he walked in, and I kept giving him information, sharing stuff with him. And he was a researcher. He was a reader. He was somebody that, you know, took it very seriously. And I remember the day that he walked into my office, my jaw, you could have picked it up off the ground. And he said, Jason, you were right. And I'm like, right about what? And he said, the Jews. And I'm like, I just looked at him, and I'm like, I thought he was messing with me. And I looked at him, and he's like, I've had it wrong. I've been lied to. It's all been wrong. Everything that I've been told about this has been wrong. He's like, Pete was right. Hoskins was right. Jack Moore was right. And he starts going down the list. He's like, it all clicked. It all makes sense. And he's like, I can't believe. He's like, I had to drive down here and tell you. And I was just, wow. It was really encouraging. But it was, you know, because this was an elderly man that I prayed for him. And I guess I prayed for him, but I didn't see him changing his mind on it. It had to have been a working of the Holy Spirit, because I don't think it could have been anything else. I don't think anything would have changed this man's mind.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gained that understanding and went on from there. I mean, it was, truly amazing. So.
But
how many years went by, Jason, do you think, before you got there with this gentleman?
I don't know. What would you say? I think he probably believed the lie for at least 50 years. Don't you, Tim?
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
And the reason I'm asking that is just everybody that's listening out there to us is, you know, sometimes it's overnight and sometimes it's over 50 years, but don't stop praying and don't stop talking.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the things is you present the truth to people. And I think that there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, yeah, the truth, but some people it takes, I mean, there's some people that you just get, you know, set in their ways and they get their mind made up. And some of those people, it's like, you know, it's going to take some prayer for you. And, you know, when you're trying to witness to somebody like that, do pray for them, pray believing, and, you know, expect a miracle. I mean, pray for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to come down and to soften those wineskins so that they may be filled with new wine. I really think that that's talking about that parable is talking about the understanding and the truth. And with sometimes it's just that anointing of the Holy Spirit that people need in their lives to be able to accept the truths that you're trying to share with them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yep. I know on a personal level, a lot of times I want to be a hammer, and I just want to hammer people. And I know from a personal standpoint, I guess I was going to say I'm just confessing this to a couple of friends, but I guess there's more people listening. I struggle with wanting to scream, why can't you see this? Why can't you see this? And I know the Lord has really worked in my life to soften my vision of the world, to realize we all see things differently in different ways at different times, and we have to be cognizant of that. And I know just my personal life, Jason knows this, and Tim probably does too, somebody who's very near and dear in my life, who is a dyed-in-the-wool Judeo-Christian, elder in the church, all of that sort of stuff. It was a milestone several months back. He told me and my wife, okay, I'm willing to submit that the Jews are not God's chosen people. I don't know about this Israel truth stuff, but I don't think the Jews are God's chosen people now. And to me, that was momentous, of just it's little battles that you win. And I wanted to throw that out there that don't expect, in some cases, it may take 50 years, keep telling the truth. And I think that's what we're called to do.
I feel you. And I think that still small voice that wins, not our hammer rings, but it's like,
right,
I'm with you. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah. Lord, it's over to you. I can't get there, but he can. So we see it going on.
On a personal level, just, my personality, of how it's been developed over the years is, I'm trying to think of a nice way of saying jerk. I don't have a lot of time is how I approach most things of, I need to get this done, and I need to get it done now because we have to move on to the next thing. And, I know the Lord personally has worked in my life of slowing me down to realize, when it comes to matters of his kingdom, that's not always the way to go. And actually I find very rarely is that the way to go. That we have to trust in the Lord. We have to slow our life down, and we have to pray for it to happen in his time. And, like I said, from a personal level, I've had to slow it down and really say, it's not my time. It's not my way. It's the Lord's time, and it's his way. And I just need to be the vessel to carry that truth to people, and it will happen according to his will, not mine.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen people that the seed's been planted in, you talked to, you shook your head, and then, you'd kind of have this, I don't know if you'd call it a parting of the ways, but, they would go their way. And you thought about them from time to time and said a prayer for them. And maybe years later, they pop back up, and you're like, it's like, okay, here's another shot. And so, or he's, you can tell he's working with, so what a, and really that should be encouraging to us as Christians too. I mean, that God never gives up.
Yes.
Sometimes we do. He doesn't. So.
Did you guys hear about any of these anti-America protests that they were supposed to have yesterday?
I haven't heard a peep.
I heard that there were a bunch of them that were going to take place. I didn't hear about any of them that actually were successful by any means. I did talk to a guy at the convenience store. And he was telling me about it. We got a little gas station just down the road from me. And he was telling me that, there was some people that were mouthing about having an anti-America protest, anti-America, anti-president protest on the 4th. And he said that they were all going to be wearing black. And then I talked to him yesterday, and he said that they did, they came in, they walked in, there was a couple of them that walked into the store, and he says, okay. And he recognized them, and he knew that they were kind of anti-American kind of folks. And he asked him, he's like, so why are you wearing black? He's like, are you guys Metallica fans? And they're like, no, we're anti-American. And he's like, well, he's like, then you need to get out of the store. Leave now. And so I thought that that was pretty cool. He, you know, took a stand. And I think that that's what a lot of people did. I think that's why these whole anti-America protests got shut down and there wasn't anything, because I think everybody just said no.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
It was really, there wasn't much outcry on it. And I don't you love the way they coin, I did a little reading in some of it. It's like they coin these words like free America. And it's like, there's no liberty without God. You know what I mean? And so, you know, they want, what they want is a God-free America, you know, where there's, and it's like, well, that's good luck with that, because that's not going to happen. You know, so God is not mocked. So, and he created us and he sustains us. So there's, and I think that wasn't that like a woman's march or something too, that they were talking about, you know, was that DC or something? I never heard anything about that either to speak of. So
I think a lot of it's just fizzling out. I know, there are still some places across the country that are having their fireworks today, I guess, since it's on Saturday. And I had heard through the grapevine that there may be some protesting at some places, but I think it's your typical places. I had heard Portland and Seattle that there was going to be some protests in those places. They're both hosting fireworks tonight as far as the cities are concerned, and they're expecting some anti-American protesting there. I don't know to what extent, but so I think there is some stuff in the works, but I haven't heard of anything getting out of hand.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Ed, we are at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. This live program is coming to you on July 5th, 2025, but we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this song.
How the tears of joy shall flow, and our smiles and glow, when those bad old foes we fought for years finally fall from one last blow. So don't give up on hope too soon, girls, before this day arrives. Just heave a sigh and try to dry all these teardrops from your eyes, 'cause there's still time. And you, there's still love to see us through. There's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose, girl, to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. 'Cause it's not over, till we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win.
Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer, yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight.
What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win. Yeah, now there's still time for me and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose now to lose these blues and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old smiling fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Yeah, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, child, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Until we win, until we win, until we win. Until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Until we win.
Amen. And we are back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being with us. It is hour number two, and I'll turn it over to Tim. Take it away, Tim.
Well, I thought, you know, we're kind of looking at, as far as some of this stuff goes with moving kind of into science and technology, we've got some, I think it's interesting that they're talking about thimerosal in vaccines and the mercury and a lot of these different things are, it's finally getting some traction, you know, as far as we've been talking about that forever, you know, but, I mean, at least, 20 years or 30 years that I know of, about the fact that it's caused autism, it's causing all these other issues in children, and the vaccine load continues to go up on our children, and it's creating intellectual disabilities and hampering intellectual development and hampers physical development, and there seems to be a lot coming out about that right now. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not, but it's interesting stuff going on, and it gives me great hope that people are starting to wake up to the damages and the debilitating effects of these vaccines.
Yeah, I know. I seen that too, and I seen where they were taking out some of this stuff out of these vaccines, and they're saying that, oh yeah, these heavy metals and this mercury and this and that, you know, it's not safe. It's not safe, and it's like, okay, yeah, we've been talking about that for as long as I've been alive. Hello? It's, the documentation that is out there that on the dangers of the vaccines has it's crazy. I mean, it's all over the place. We've interviewed people over the last, you know, the 30 years, the people that we've interviewed on this network, talking about the dangers of vaccines and the books that we've promoted and pushed on, you know, trying to educate people. And it's like, yeah, I'm very encouraged by seeing that they're, you know, people are waking up and they're realizing that, hey, this stuff is bad for you. It's poison. I mean, and they're calling it what it is. It's, you know, it's poison.
Yeah, it's poison. It's poison with repercussions, you know, that you can, you look at some of these charts that are getting put out now. And like Tim was saying, with 30 years, I mean, there is
it's a nosedive when it comes to IQ points and you know, that sort of thing. Of you, I think what the chart that I was looking at goes back to 1992, and you can just see the marked decline of intellectual ability with these children, and the correlation to thimerosal. Let me ask, am I wrong? Thimerosal is just mercury, right? They were just calling it something
else. That's what I understand it to be also. Yep. Yeah. It's a very high grade, very fine mercury.
And it's going to tell you something. Yeah. Yeah. No. And going along those lines, Tim, of so, you know, trying to figure out why are we even doing this? You're right. It kills anything it touches. You know, as far as antifungal and antibacterial, it's used as a preservative in these vaccines. And really digging into it, it's all about money. That instead of doing single dose vials of a vaccine, so you know, you're they're using the same vial over and over again to vaccinate people. So they have to have this mercury in there to prevent cross-contamination, is my understanding. It just comes down to the dollar. Obviously, there's probably some other reasons that kind of behind the scenes of why they want to introduce mercury into these kids, but the official reason is to act as a
preservative.
Antibacterial, antifungal preservative, yes.
Yep.
So that they can continue to use the same vial over and over and over again. I just thought that was interesting that it's just the money. You go back to the money of it. So, yeah. I was reading too on this that let me see, the IQ of less than a 70 is how they're defining this intellectual disability, and the numbers are, it's just amazing. It's amazing. It doesn't sound like much, but you know, the increase is 3.22%. That's an enormous number when you consider how many vaccinated children are out there. It's a huge number. So we're, like you said, we're talking about it now. The ministry's been talking about it for forever, going back to the 80s and early 90s. It's I'm glad the rest of the country's catching up.
Well, and you know, children with autism traditionally show high levels of toxic metals in their brain and,
yes,
you know, in their bodies. And when you look at that, we've got all these and there's case after case of detoxing autistic children, detoxing the heavy metals out, and the autism goes away, you know. And I think that there's nothing good. And imagine, if you will, a vial of that with that in it, and you end up with, I don't know if it doesn't get mixed properly. What if one has a higher level of that in there? So, you know, that child develops problems. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that that goes on with dosages and with balances. It's not good. There's nothing about it. And it prevents bacterial and fungal growth, but it also destroys brain cells and it destroys, that kind of stuff. They don't talk about that, but basically, talking about mercury, I can remember as a young man in the trades, you know, we were actually using mercury for some different parts of jobs, and they were like, don't spill any of that, because if you spill it, we've got to report it as a toxic spill, and it will render this entire area unsafe. I mean, we'll lose part of the building as a result of it. Well, that was like two drops of mercury, you know, but we don't have any problem with injecting it into our children.
I remember my mom telling me that somebody broke a thermometer. Mercury used to be, you know, liquid mercury used to be in a thermometer, and somebody broke one on a school bus, and they had to evacuate the whole school bus and shut it down because of the dangers of just coming in contact with it. And then I talked to other people that used to play with it in their hands. My father-in-law, he was telling me that he had liquid mercury, and they would, you know, pour it into their hands and play with it when he was in school. and you know, break it up into little pieces and put it back together, and you know, liquid metal, and how cool it was. So yeah, I mean,
the idea of mercury being harmful, especially to your brain, I know just from reading, going back to Victorian England in the 1870s and 1880s, if you've ever heard the term mad as a hatter,
yep.
That the hat makers the hat, in Victorian England.
They used it. They used mercury in those hat bands, and when people would wear the hats,
they would dip their pens in mercury so that under candlelight they could see the tips of the pen of where they were making this hat, where they were tacking the hat up, and the hat makers would keep those pens in their mouth. They would put them in their mouth as they were working, and the mercury started leaching into their bloodstream, and it sent them crazy. They just, you know, 8-10 hours a day with mercury in your mouth, and they became mad as a hatter. So the whole idea of not knowing that mercury potentially could be harmful to your brain, we've known about that for 150 years, you know, that this is not good for you. And yet these vaccine companies, they knowingly and willingly introduced it, you know, into their vaccination. So there has to be some culpability there that you can't say that they didn't know what they were doing.
And then we wonder where the LGBTQT movement came from and where all this, you know, because when we look at these people who want to cut their body parts off or add body parts or do just weird things, it's like, what kind of insanity is that? There's your answer. You know? I mean, at least
at the very least, yeah, at the very least, it probably makes them more susceptible to the propaganda of not being able to think through that, you know, boys have something that girls don't, and you can't make it the other way, you know. And yeah, you're right, Tim. I mean, that sure helps to explain. I mean, I know as a kid, I never thought that way, and I don't know about y'all either, but I think with the constant propaganda and it being beating our kids constantly, and you connect that to the lower IQs due to the vaccinations and that sort of stuff, yeah, it makes for a willing targeted group, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely suggestible. I mean, I would think.
Definitely suggestible.
Another, yeah,
definitely suggestible. I heard something yesterday, guys. I'll throw out at y'all. I just thought this was another positive thing. I was just listening to a guy's commentary, and he's an older guy. He's up in his 70s now, and he was talking about some of the positive, you know, there's so much negative, and we may even touch on that as far as the COVID stuff. He said, you know, one of the positive things of all of this COVID stuff is the just amazing increase in homeschooling over the last 5 years across the country. And the amazing decrease of the number of children, the number of parents that are subjecting their kids to vaccinations, you know, that's going through the floor, and the number of new homeschoolers are going through the roof. And he said, you know, you stop and think about it, that over the last 30 years, we've had these vaccinated children with lower IQs that will buy into any propaganda. They don't know how to do math. They don't know how, because they're not being taught in the schools. And he goes through this whole idea of, we're not producing new mechanics. We're not producing new engineers. We're not, you know, the trades have fallen because you have kids that have, you know, they don't know how to do incremental math when it comes to quarter inch and eighth inch and 16th of an inch and this sort of thing, that their minds just can't comprehend it. And his whole premise of saying this is, stop and think. Maybe the number of the remnant will grow, because we're going to have a whole new batch of unvaccinated children that have never darkened the door of a public school.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're going to be awake, and they're going to be aware. And that is something that is very positive for the United States of America.
Yep. It's awesome. I mean, what a blessing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really, that's kind of what we're attempting to show here, is not so much the horrors of what goes on as the outcry against it, so that you can do something about it. You know, I mean, there are things you can do about it, you know. And think about the the questioning minds that this is developing, the you know, critical thought processes that are beginning to be restored and rejuvenated. And we see this go on. And the other thing with that is eventually people get, when people start waking up, they get kind of angry about the fact that they've been, nobody likes to be duped, you know. I mean, that, yeah. so there may be, I think there's a coming time when that anger has been stored up for him. And God says in the Bible, it's going to be poured out, you know, so the cup's definitely full.
It's as good a time as any is, as far as still, I know we've said it several times during the show, but I'll say it again of just in the spirit of Independence Day. And I know the three of us talking right now, there's at least one rebel when it comes to fireworks that's on the line with us right now. And there's just a huge, to me, with this, the growing rebellion versus, you know, against the vaccinations and all of the nonsense that we experienced during that, there are more people that have discovered the incredible power of the word no, of just saying no. We're not going to do that. You can tell us to do that, but we're not going to do it. And I mean, that's the seed of rebellion, you know, just putting the tongue to the top of the roof of your mouth and just saying no. And to me, I think it's incredibly positive that, you know, I would have told you 4 or 5 years ago that we were full of sheep in this country, and we still are full of sheep. But I'll tell you, there's a lot less than I thought there was, because there have been plenty of people that I know in my circle that I didn't expect to say no, that said no. They just weren't going to do it, and they didn't. And they found out it wasn't so hard, that, you know, they didn't get killed or beat up or anything, you know, that most of the time they just got left alone. And I think that's a good thing as we sit here on Independence Day weekend.
Excellent. Yeah, for sure. And I think that
go ahead, Tim.
I just think it's interesting that, you know, I read one statement by a guy, and he said, well, he should be handing out citations or you know, of accomplishment to these people who said no, because you stood up in the face of as far as the COVID vaccine and stuff like that goes. And I can remember it was just like, you know, it was the majority of the people who did that expected no recognition. They expected no.
Yeah.
But they also expected God to defend them and take care of them. And they just knew it was wrong. So it's awesome.
I got a great story. If you guys will give me about 2 or 3 minutes, I just think it fits in with what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And it just happened here locally. Yeah, sure. It just happened here locally. So kind of in the spirit of Red Beckman and just everything we're talking about, I'll tell you a great story that just happened. I won't name the county, but it's a couple of counties away from me, but relatively local. 2 or 3 months ago, it even made news locally here where I'm at. It was such a big deal. So I don't know how the game works. So I can't tell you how the game works, but essentially there was a beer joint. I mean, I don't know of another way of saying it, just a tavern, kind of on the county line of this county. And they were hosting something called a Queen of Hearts game. I don't know how the game is played, but I know it was essentially kind of a raffle where you freely, nobody was forcing you to do this. It was your own money. You were going there and buying these raffle tickets, and there was a pot of money, and it kept growing and growing and growing and growing. I'm sure by the statute of the state of Texas, this was probably unsanctioned gambling is what it was. But I want to tell you, okay, we have casinos in this state, and we have lottery in this state, and the state of Texas says that's fine. That, you know, that kind of gambling is fine because they profit from it. But, you know, I guess if you had 4 or 5 guys in your shop playing poker, that would be illegal too. So just want to point that out. So these folks in this community, and it's an agricultural county, it's full of ranches and rice farmers and corn and maize farmers, they were getting together at this beer joint, and they were participating in this game called Queen of Hearts. And the pot had gotten up to $250,000.
Dang.
$250,000.
Wow. $250,000.
That's a lot of money. Cash. That is a lot of money. I wouldn't turn it down. So, I also want to point out, let me back up just a second and say, the sheriff of this county knew about it. Not only did he know about it, he had two of his deputies working at the bar off duty because the pot of money had gotten up so high, and it was in cash. Okay. So you have two off-duty deputy sheriffs working at this bar, providing security services, and by all accounts, I did some asking around. They hadn't had one problem. There were no fist fights. There were no cries of anything underhanded going on with this game. Beer sales and food sales was through the roof for this tavern, and you had a small agricultural community that was gathering around having a good time. And
good clean fun. It sounds like
good clean fun. And then the state came in, and the local district attorney and the sheriff changed his mind, and they raided the joint. They raided the joint and said it was an illegal gambling operation. Now, mind you, the sheriff had his deputies working there for 9 months. The sheriff had his deputies working there, and he had no problem with it then. So they raid the joint. They arrest the owners. There were three owners. They arrest all of them. They seize the $250,000 and they shut the place down. And the community went nuts. I mean, they went nuts. They took to social media, and I mean the whole community, and they were just raising teetotal hell over the sheriff doing this, the district attorney doing this. I mean, they were livid. You had prominent attorneys in this county posting editorials, and they were livid. And I guess I can say I'm happy to report that on Monday of this last week, the grand jury convened, and they chose to indict no one and ordered the sheriff to give the money back. And I think that is jury nullification at its finest. Those people may not have known what they were doing, but they did what American citizens do. They told the sheriff and they told the district attorney, you have overstepped your bounds. There is no crime here.
Good.
So just wanted to throw that
That's
out
That's awesome.
You
Praise the Lord. That's encouraging.
Yeah. I thought it was neat. I thought it was neat. And I was told that the district attorney went back several times to the grand jury trying to explain to them they couldn't do what they were doing. And the grand jury foreman continued to tell the district attorney what we're doing. So there you go.
No doubt. Yeah, the money got them big enough that it was worth something, or, you know, there was something
there
like that going on. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Here in Colorado, it was kind of interesting because they came out and the mayor of Fort Collins came out and they said that, they said that we are increasing the fines and we're going to have all of our police force on duty for the 4th of July, and said that they came out and actually said that if you're in the city limits, a sparkler is illegal and you're going to be fined if you get caught. If you do light a sparkler, the way that they put it is if you light a sparkler, you're going to be found out and you're going to get a $1,000 fine. If you light a snake on the ground, you are going to get a $1,000 fine. And basically they had an all hands on deck kind of scenario. And people were just, they were upset. It's like, I mean, a snake and a sparkler, I mean, stuff that's always been fine. I mean, in the county, they've got laws that say that if it leaves the ground, you can be fined, or if it's over so many decibels and it's depending on how loud it is, that's illegal. But in the city limits, snake sparklers, anything that you have to light was considered illegal. And, people were upset. They're like, how is this? The reasoning behind it is it's dangerous. And I don't think that it had anything to do with danger. I mean, it is I think that it had to do with anti-American and it was anti-patriotic. And, they said, the mayor says, if you want to celebrate, you can go get some glow sticks and some silly string. And that ain't going to happen. And there was fireworks going off all over the place. I mean, there was people that just protested. So, and I was very, very, very happy to see that. We live outside of city limits, and so there was only about 100 mortar shells that ended up going off, and they were very, very loud. Very, very, very. I don't know who was lighting them, but I know that everybody was having a good time, and it was, about every time that they went off, everybody's looking to see if there's any cars coming, or if, you know, watch out for sheriff deputies, because it was just one of those things. I mean, and it was, but it was happening here. It was happening at the neighbor's house, you know, a quarter mile down the road. It was happening at the other neighbor's a quarter mile down the road. It was happening all over the place. And you talking with some of the people that were friends with some of the sheriff's deputies, they said that they said it was happening throughout the whole county. Everybody was doing it. It's like there's no possible way that they could do anything about it, enforce it, and they didn't want to. That was what I was happy. It's like it's the 4th of July, you know, and a couple years ago when I was talking with a deputy, he said it's the 4th of July. He's like, people are going to light fireworks and do that. That's fine. He's like, be safe. Be careful with it. If it's a week after the 4th of July and you're still blowing stuff up, yeah, you're probably going to get somebody that's going to show up and talk to you. But it was really neat, because just to look out across and see how many people were setting off these mortar shells, I loved it. It was like, you know, this is a country that was born out of rebellion, and I'm looking in every one of these firecrackers that goes off, I'm seeing rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. And it was, I mean, it was a good feeling. It was good to see. It was, it just put a smile on my face and made me real happy.
I love it.
I like the whole idea that, when you look at what our country was, and then something like that, when you look at how our country was founded and who founded it and what they did, because they basically were big no men. It's like, yep. King George, not happening. So when you see all that go on, I mean, they were a bunch of individualists. They were a bunch of survivalists. They were they protested that power that was. And I was thinking about that. I read an article and somebody was talking about how horrible it was to not be able to sleep that night, all this noise, it upset their animals. And I was sitting there thinking about it. And I was like, the neighbor across the road, they raise dogs. It's a kennel or whatever. And some nights, they'll keep you awake till 2 o'clock, the dog's barking, they'll keep you awake way later than you'd like to. You know, it's just, that's the way it is. You know, there's nothing to do. What a bunch of wieners, you know? I mean, it's just what good grief.
Well, and I printed out a list, and I just want to go through this list and read a couple of these quotes. So these are quotes from our founding fathers, from the signers of the Declaration of Independence. First one is John Adams. And it says, quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people," end quote. Samuel Adams, quote, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven. The rights of the colonialist as Christians are found clearly written in the New Testament," end quote. Charles Carroll, quote, "On the mercy of my Redeemer, I rely for my salvation. Without morals, a republic cannot subsist." End quote. Benjamin Rush, "The only foundations for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. Christianity is the only true and perfect religion." John Witherspoon, "The best friend to liberty is he who promotes true and undefined religion. God grant that in America, true religion and civil liberties may be inseparable." Roger Sherman, "The scriptures are a complete rule for us to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God. Thomas Jefferson, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? And those are the men that signed the Declaration of Independence 249 years ago yesterday. And it is, you read their quotes and you read the stuff that they said, and you can tell that they were faith-based. They were Christians. They were men that, they were patriots. You know, they loved God. They loved their country. And they believed that, you know, that this was prophecy being fulfilled. And the prophecy of 2 Samuel 7:10. I mean, it was prophesied that they came to a land. This was a land. It was a nation born in a day. They understood that. They believed it. And to me, it is that's why that this day, the 4th of July, is so important, is because it is that nation born in a day. And they hate us. The enemy hates it. They want to say that it was this bastardized country over there in the sandbox, that that was the nation that was born in a day. And it simply isn't true. It's a lie. It's a false identity. And I think that that's why they hate the 4th of July so much. And I think that's why I love it so much, is it is our day. It is, you know, it is. And I don't know. This is just me. I was listening to some, I don't know. I want to call him a, you know, a fat bastard, but it was like, you know, a fat bastard of a preacher. And it looked like a Baptist preacher that was talking about, America earlier this week, and he just he threw out some quotes and stuff, but he had no idea what he was talking about. And, you know, it was just, it was just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, if a preacher's got to get up there and tell you, I don't know how many times, well, the Spirit of God is here. Can you feel it? I can feel it. You need to be feeling this. The Spirit of God is here. And they got to sit up, get there and say this over and over and over again. That's not where the Spirit of God is. You know, the scripture, I can't quote it exactly, but it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And to me, it is just absolutely, I don't know how to put it. It's a good feeling when you can feel that, when it's, you know, there, when you feel those freedoms, it's something that just, you know, flows in your veins and all the way to the core of your bones and hits you deep in your soul when you see and feel that you know, rebellion that people have. And it's not rebellion to God, it's rebellion to tyranny, it's rebellion against the system. And I just love it. I didn't say that very well, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's not something you just feel inside some building there. I mean, it's everywhere in the land. That's that Spirit of Liberty. I mean, it should be. You carry it with you. You don't have to go somewhere to find it in particular. That's, yeah.
I'll go as far as saying when the Puritans were on the Bella coming across from England and they were on the Atlantic Ocean, I think they probably had the Spirit of God right there with them because they felt liberty.
I agree. And when you have that liberty, when you have that in you and you feel it, you feel like you are unstoppable.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, going back to the founding of this country, you know, I was thinking earlier, you know, we're told, and I believe, you know, only 3% of the men were willing to say no, like Tim was saying, you know, only 3% of those guys were willing to dig their heels in and say no to King George. And what's the old saying, right? Nobody wants to be first, but everybody wants to be next. And just a few of those guys that were willing to say no, and look what happened. More and more people got behind them. Always remember, you know, Colonel Moore and stout-hearted men. Isn't that what we're talking about? It's just you had a few that with that liberty, that Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God is where liberty dwells. And I think that's what they had. I think that's what they knew. I think that's what they felt. And all of a sudden, we had a revolution because just a few men believed in their freedom and their liberty because they knew that it came from God Almighty, and no nation, no country, no government was going to be able to take that from them. And like I said, they were first, and there was a whole bunch of people who wanted to be next. And that's why we get to be on the radio this morning, guys, and talk about such things.
Well, in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about where the spirit of liberty, the spirit of liberty is, in Romans 8:16 turns around and says, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, when those people approach this land that God gave us, the land that was born in today, there was some witness bearing going on there between those, that spirit of liberty and our spirits. I mean, it's an empowering. You get to talking about it, I don't know, makes your hair stand up on end. You know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's there. It's electric. So, I mean, there you go.
Jason, I want to take a second and just say, just because I think it's appropriate what we're talking. Yesterday, Jason sent out a 4th of July email to everyone on the ministry, and he included a link to a Pastor Pete sermon called God Give Us the Spirit of Our Forefathers. I know personally, I listened to it twice yesterday. I was on a tractor for a little while yesterday doing some work, and man, I listened to it back to back. And if y'all haven't had the opportunity or taken a chance to do that, you need to. If you want to talk about the Spirit of God and liberty coming along with it, that is an evergreen message from Pastor Peters, and it is more appropriate today than it was. Jason, you said that was 40 years yesterday.
It was,
right?
Exactly. 40 years to the day is when that message that was preached on July 4th, 1985. So 40 years to the day is when it was originally preached. And it, to me, it's like, so I'm like you, Will. I listened to it actually twice Thursday and then once on Friday, and actually twice on Thursday and once on Friday. And it was just amazing. And I thought it was the perfect message, and started working on trying to get stuff put together, because I wanted to put together an email and get it sent out. And I seen, you know, go ahead. I'll let you finish and then I'll jump in.
Oh no, you go for it, man.
Well, I was, I had seen couple emails that went around, and it was, you know, one of them was, you know, happy 4th of July, proud to be an American, let freedom ring, land of the free, home of the brave, stars and stripes and fireworks, celebrate freedom today and always, happy Independence Day, red, white, and blue, united we stand, divided we fall, you name it. I mean, it was just, it was one thing after another, and it was good stuff, good messages. I sat down and I wrote this, and sent this out to those that receive our emails and that are signed up to receive those. I put down Happy Independence Day. No King, but King Jesus. July 4th, 2025. Dear Remnant and fellow Christian patriots, as we celebrate the birth of our nation this 4th of July, our hearts shall swell with gratitude, not just for the freedoms of our founding fathers secured, but for the King above all kings, who reigns in righteousness and truth. On this day in 1776, brave men declared liberty from tyranny and proclaimed that our rights come from God, not from any government, crown, or earthly ruler. Their battle cry still echoes today, no king but King Jesus. The 4th of July is more than fireworks and flags. It's a reminder that God has a purpose for nations. In 2 Samuel 7:10, we read, God declared, and I will establish a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will malicious people oppress them any more as previously. Though this was spoken to ancient Israel, our forefathers believed they were part of a new Israel, and the scripture was prophecy being fulfilled. Fleeing religious persecution, seeking a land where they could freely worship Jesus Christ, they established this nation under godly principles, with the Bible as their guide and the Lord as their lawgiver. Today, as darkness grows and tyranny tries once again to take root, we must stand firm in the legacy they left us. God give us the spirit of our forefathers, the courage to stand against evil, the conviction to speak truth without fear, and the faith to trust you above all else. Let us teach our children the true history of this land and remind them that freedom without God is no freedom at all. We must not bow to the idols of our age, whether political power, cultural trends, or fear, but instead boldly declare with our lives and our lips, we have no king but King Jesus. May this Independence Day rekindle a fire in your soul to pray for America, to defend the truth, to walk in the liberty that only Christ can give. Let us honor this great land by honoring the one who blessed it. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Romans 8:21 says that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption and to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I included a link for the message entitled God Give Us the Spirit of Our Forefathers, and I also put that on our website. If you have not listened to that message, I strongly recommend it. It's one of my favorite messages. It's just a hard-hitting message on it hits so many different subjects, but he makes it very clear that this is the land and we are the people. And I put that yesterday under the resources page on our website. So if you go to resources, there's a message there that says God Give Us the Spirit. You can watch it online there. Fantastic message. Strongly encourage you to listen to it, to watch it. It is, there's so many truths in there that you cannot, you can't argue with. And to me, it was very significant sending that out. It was pretty cool. I didn't even realize it until later on. I got an email from Will. He said that he had listened to it twice, and I was trying to figure out how long that message had been, how long ago it had been preached. And when I looked at it, and it was 40 years, and I thought, man, 40 years ago, and this message is still, this message is going to reach more people 40 years later than when it was originally preached. How many of those people are even, you know, that heard that, even remember it or even alive? And it's going to reach more people 40 years later than it ever has before. And I was just, it was a very humbling and exciting thought. But I thought it was just, I thought, wow, this is, you know, this is awesome. And that's just the way God works.
I thought it was worth noting. One of the thoughts that occurred to me was 40 years in the wilderness, you know, and here we are 40 years later, and boom, you know. So when you listen to it, it's like a call out of that. I mean, that was one of the thoughts that went through my mind. So
that's a good thought. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. But
I'll jump on that too, and just, you know, what you were saying about the 40 years in the wilderness. One of the things I kept thinking yesterday, like I said, I was on a tractor just doing some treading, and I kept thinking about the things that Pastor Pete was talking about, and putting it into the context of, you know, then 40 years ago, and looking at where we're at now, and thinking things weren't so bad then compared to what they are now. Look at where we're at now, and just thinking that it truly is an evergreen message that I think more people will have eyes to see and ears to hear that message now than then, because there was only I hate to say it, but, you know, a smaller group of people that realized what was coming to our nation then. Now it is so out there and prolific for everybody to see that I think that message, like you were saying, Jason, it just is a testament to what truth doesn't know a time limit. It doesn't have an expiration date. It only becomes more true as time marches on. And that's kind of what I was thinking, is this message is more true today than it was then. And I praise God for the technology to have captured that moment in time, and that we have the ability to put it out to the people today.
Well, and it bears witness of the truth of it, just from the standpoint of, like you said, Will, it was that way then. How much worse is it now? And that's what the warning was about. That was what the
Tetris
was about. If we don't get this handled, it's going to go downhill, you know. And it's still that way. So, yeah. And God's God definitely is on the throne. He's definitely the king. And here we go. So.
Yeah, I remember, and it was just talking about technology real quick. It was, I remember, I don't know how many years ago it had to have been, but I remember talking to, you know, IT guys and this and that. And I'm like, you know, I'd like to be able to take a message, you know, a sermon and be able to, you know, send it, you know, stream it across the internet. And they're like, well, how long is it? And I'm like, you know, oh, just an hour or so. Oh, you know, impossible, impossible. You know, never going to happen. There's never going to be enough bandwidth out there that, you know, that there's just nothing. And, you know, they laughed and they laughed and they just, you know, oh, yeah, it's a great idea. But, you know, never going to happen. And, you know, here we are, you know, down the road, and I'm able to post something on a website, and anybody in the world can watch it. It can listen to it. It's pretty awesome. It'd be able to take something that was preached 40 years ago when you had to have a VHS duplicator. People had to know, number one, they had to know that it was out there. Then they had to order it and they had to duplicate it and send it out. And just the way that things have changed, it's kind of mind boggling to see, you know, the advancements that we've made. And it's exciting to be able to take this. I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday when I was putting this together and sending it out. It's like, man, if Pete would have, you know, in 1985, if I could have told him that I'm going to take this message in 40 years and send it out, and you're going to be able to walk over to your computer and anybody and everybody can pick up their phone, pull their phone out of their pocket, and will be able to watch this message or listen to it, or you know, he would have thought I was nuts.
It's really true. It's amazing. So how the access, and that's another thing. These people, I mean, you want to talk about God leaving people with no excuse. I mean, you know, they have no excuse not to find out or not to do that. So we live in a day time,
yeah,
where there are no excuses. Well, I didn't know. It's like, well,
right,
you weren't looking, weren't interested in applying yourself. So,
well, looking at the clock, we got to move on. Tim, I know that one of the things that we did talk about earlier this week, and I didn't get a chance. I know you sent me some stuff. I didn't get a chance to look at a whole lot of it. I did start looking at it, but you were telling me about this ChatGPT psychosis that people are dealing with. What's the skinny on that?
Well, they're running into a lot of people who are, you know, it's not, they call it ChatGPT psychosis, but it also refers to a lot of the chat bots in general. But basically, in as little as 2 weeks, there's just a lot of these people that are ending up in hospital, jail, psychiatric hospitals. They're spiraling into severe mental health crisis, paranoia, delusions, breaks with reality. They think that they are basically godlike and creating things. It's not funny. It's pretty spooky when you get into it. I mean, people who are normal, sentient, productive individuals, like at work or something on some process, and within a couple of weeks, they're just a, you know, drooling mass of weirdness. I mean, I don't know any other word for it, but they've got emergency medical services being called out, and I think that when we see this, it's dangerous. There's a lot of things going on. I mean, people trying to kill themselves, people trying to kill other people, just different. And some of the stories they tell after they kind of find themselves again and come back out, they're very strange. So, I mean, some of it's, but the delusional part is the part that they're really bringing out, is the fact that they're just really deluded. And I think that, you know, Satan is a deluding influence. And my own belief is that what we're seeing with this AI and with these chatbots is they're very self-affirming, and they bring about, you know, we judge ourselves by God's yardstick. When we begin to think that we're right in all our own ways, there's no whatever condemnation, you know, or no call to be better, to be godlike, to improve ourselves. And I think this stuff's, a lot of it is fallen angel tech. I think we've got to be really careful with it and really aware of what it is. It doesn't have godly basis. It doesn't have, and a lot of these churches, mega churches, you know, movements out there, they're putting chatbots. You don't even talk to a minister anymore when you get on there. You're talking to a chatbot, you know, and it's basically self-soothing. Oh, you're okay. You're right, you know, and everything else. And we have to have a standard in our lives, in our world, in our sphere that calls us to a higher call. And when we don't, we spiral into this psychosis or into this delusional state. So I think that it's just one of those things. I was like, wow, and that's it's a little bit spooky, you know. So
yeah, it is. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, and that's what I keep wondering. It's like, how is this AI stuff going to play out? You look at the videos and stuff that are coming out, that's just kind of gone viral lately, and they've gotten so good that it's like, you can't tell what's real and what's fake.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, most of these people have suffered from this. They don't have any history of mental health issues or anything like that.
Right.
So, yeah. And they talk about confusion. There was a lot of terminology in there about, well, I became confused, And so they turned to it even more to help offset their confusion.
Yes.
It's like Satan's the author of confusion. So, yep. It don't pass the fruit test. I mean, that's my thought.
Amen. Well, and Will, we're going to go to you. We've only got a few minutes left, but prepper tip of the week. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah. In the spirit of 4th of July and all that, I started thinking about prepper tip of the week. And does being a prepper make you a good patriot? And my thought on that was kind of being a modern day Minuteman or a young man or a young woman or a woman, and just the pioneer spirits of our forefathers and our founders. And I think it would be, I think we would be telling a fib if we said that our forefathers were not, prepared men, and they were facing Indians and harsh environments and the frontier, and, they somehow made it. And I would say they made it because of their mindset and that they were prepared. And, but to kind of just really get down to that Minuteman thing, I started thinking about, the idea of being a Minuteman and being ready in a minute's notice. And I started reading up. And I found this in a resource that talked about the typical Minuteman's kit. And they said that he would have typically a musket, a powder horn filled with gunpowder, a pouch of lead balls, a knapsack containing a day's worth of food like hardtack or dried meat, maybe some dried fruit or vegetables. They were also expected to have a bayonet, a canteen, and a hatchet or some sort of similar tool. And I started thinking, Minutemen had bug out bags. That's pretty much what they're describing, right? And so I started thinking about being a modern day Minuteman and putting it in that context of when we talk about our bug out bags or our get home bags or whatever, maybe that we're here at the 4th of July, we should start thinking of it as more of being just, we're modern day Minutemen. And then, too, I with the Minuteman of the time during that revolutionary time, I think we subconsciously just put it in the context of the Redcoats, and that's not really what the Minutemen were completely focused on. Like I said, they were focused on Indian incursions and that sort of thing. They were focused on protecting their village, their town, their people from whatever the threat may be. And that include natural threats, too, tornadoes or flooding or whatever the case may be. They were the militia. And I would just encourage people, and with what we are dealing with in the world today of when you're thinking about being a prepper, put it in the context of being a good patriot. We are where we are today because our forefathers were preppers. They were good patriots, and they were willing to protect their neighbors and protect themselves, protect their family, and they were prepared to do so. So that's really what I was thinking about, Jason.
That's awesome. No, I appreciate that. I think that's good thought. Tim?
Good parallel. I think it's ready in a minute. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Are you ready for whatever comes? And I think it's interesting, too, that they had a list. Everybody talks about what to put in your prep bag and your bug out. Well, they had a list back then. I don't know. It sounds to me like it was a pretty good order today. So, and I don't think they were worried about bugging out as much as they were about bugging in, but you know what I'm saying? They were,
that's right.
They were ready for whatever came.
That's right. Reading up on that just real fast, too, I was going to tell you, because in past shows we talked about having a truck kit and that sort of thing. This is what they would carry with them into the woods if they were hunting or are going to and from to help neighbors work at their place or whatever. This is what they would carry with them. So it really was a get-home bag, too. If the flag was raised or if the bell was rang, that's what they had on them to ensure that they could get back to their homestead or to their town to help defend. So it was something they traveled around with, just a food for thought for everybody there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah, very good thought. I just wanted to close out by saying thank you, men, for being here this morning with us. And thank you, Remnant, for tuning in and joining us. Remember, our website is www.scripturesforamerica.org. Or you can visit the broadcasting site by going to sfawbn.com. And we're going to go out with a song.
Will governments enslave you for the greatness that was once your crown? Be trampled in your streets. Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Won't you take your great past? America, America, the tide can still be turned. Open up your eyes and see the lesson to be
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others, send your